We've been considering Romans 1, 18 through 32, though we haven't yet really looked at those verses. The two main subjects of those verses are sin and God's wrath, which of course is the result of sin. And Romans 1 explains how these two things, sin and the wrath of God, are like a cycle and they progress. So in order to understand Romans 1, we have to understand sin, we have to understand the wrath of God. And we've been looking at the nature of sin. We saw last week that it's a transgression. That is, it's opposed to God. It's opposed to everything about God. Whether you talk about His love, His mercy, His grace, it's opposed to every aspect of the Lord. 1 John 5, verse 17 tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. So unrighteousness describes the nature of sin. Unrighteousness is that which is against right, that which is opposed to what is right. Unrighteousness, of course, is what is wrong. God's standard determines, not man's standard, but God's standard determines what is unrighteousness. What is right, what is wrong. And again, God's standard is Himself. It is referred to as wickedness and evil in Genesis 6 and verse 5. Wickedness deals more with what is morally wrong. And evil is just kind of a summary of all that would be disagreeable to God. That which is unwholesome, that which is evil is harmful. And so it is, of course, with sin. So whatever does not conform to God's standard is sin. Whatever the degree, that's not the issue. Whatever does not conform to God's standard, which is Himself, is sin. Sin is iniquity. The Hebrew word translated iniquity conveys the idea of twisting and perverting. It's a twisting and perverting of God's standard. Sin is perversion. Iniquity is a misrepresentation. It's a falsification. It's a subversion, a misuse of God's standard. Sin also is referred to as rebellion. It's rebellion against God, which of course is a willful, deliberate act. It is an act of resistance, but again, it's deliberate, it's willful. It is an act of opposition to an established government or order. So the very word rebellion implies that there is a standard, that there is a rule, a government or ruler. In this case, of course, that would be God. And every time we sin, we rebel against God. And God often accused Israel of being rebellious, of rebelling against God. That is, you know what is right, and yet you deliberately go against that. That's rebellion. We're not talking about a sin of ignorance here. We're talking about willful rebellion against God. And again, this necessitates a standard. Sin is an act of ignorance. All sin is an act of ignorance. It shows that we are ignorant. It is an act of obstinacy. It's an act of foolishness. Notice in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, God speaking to Israel, speaking to his people. In verse 3, he says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, or does not understand, does not acknowledge. My people doth not consider." So, two animals. You have an ox and a donkey. Not known for their intelligence. Known for their obstinacy. Known for their difficulty to handle. But even they have an instinct that makes them recognize their master. As stupid and as ignorant as they are, they recognize their master. When they see their master coming with a bucket of food, they move toward him immediately. The sinner, on the other hand, reacts against the offers of God. They refuse it. They speak against it. And then they think that they are clever in doing so. Sin is an act of obstinacy. The ox and the mule, they know. They are dependent upon their master. They know that the master, that if the master does not come with food, they will go hungry. But the sinner, they don't know that. God comes with his blessings and the sinner refuses it. The sinner turns away from God. And again, the sinner thinks that they are intelligent in doing so. The sinner thinks that in doing so, that makes them intelligent, or because of their intelligence, they do so. So sin perverts man. And that's so abundantly clear in Romans chapter 1. Sin perverts man. Sin makes fools of man. Again, that is brought forth very, very clearly in Romans chapter 1. Sin blinds the mind. Again, we see that cycle in Romans chapter 1. Man does not become more intelligent living in sin. He becomes more and more ignorant as sin progresses. But thinks that they're evolving in intelligence, progressing. Man never progresses going away from God. Never. And it's only the stupidity of man, the insanity of sin, that would cause someone to think that they are better off going against God than obeying God. Amen. Yet that was Satan's pitch to man. You would be better off to ignore God's command, ignore God's boundary that he has established. You would be better off, you would be as gods. You'd be better off. And that's been Satan's pitch ever since. That's been the way of man ever since. So sin blinds the mind and leads to a failure to think logically. It renders man incapable of sound thinking. Sin is a mental problem. really is. It is a mental illness. We see also sin is a heavy weight. Isaiah 1 verse 4. A people laden with iniquity. A people laden with iniquity. That is, a people weighted down, encumbered, overloaded. Again, the pitch of Satan is that sin gives liberty. Sin gives freedom. Sin does just the opposite. Sin weights down. Sin encumbers. It overloads, and they're overloaded with iniquity. Again, that which is twisted, that which is perverted, that which is illogical, doesn't make sense. And again, Romans 1 is a good picture. Sin does not make sense. And the more you progress in that cycle of sin, the less logical that an individual becomes. So the picture here in Isaiah is a people weighted down and obstructed and hindered with that which is twisted and perverted and illogical. Sin is evil. Sin is corrupting. Isaiah 1 verse 4, we read, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. So here we have a picture of doers and participants in that which is wrong, immoral, vile, dishonorable, devilish, and as such, that's all described by evildoers. As such, they become corruptors. Evildoers are corruptors. That's more than evildoers are corrupt. Yes, they are. But evildoers are corruptors. Again, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. That is, they corrupt others. Now, that which is corrupt speaks of that which is rotten, that which is putrid. So that they are corruptors means that they take part in corrupting others, which means they bring damage to others. They bring ruin. They bring destruction to others. Now notice here in Isaiah 1 verse 4, again we see the progression of sin. A people laden with iniquities, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. It's passed on from one generation to another. Their children become corruptors. And with each generation, sin progresses that much more. And we'll see that at a later time. Sin is a forsaking of God. We see in verse 4 again, they have forsaken the Lord. They have forsaken the Lord. In other words, they have left God. You leave God, disaster follows every single time. Nothing good comes out of leaving God. They have forsaken God. They have done so willfully. They have done so deliberately. They have turned their back upon God. And that is what is being described in Romans chapter 1. It's a nation that has turned their back upon God. It's a people that has turned their back upon God. It's a casting aside of God. So the sinner against God, they forsake God. In other words, they plan their own lives without God, without consideration of God. And they live their lives in disregard of God. These are those who have forsaken the Lord. It's not just merely an individual who announces, I want nothing to do with God. Certainly that individual has forsaken God. But anyone who plans their own life without considering the will of God has forsaken the Lord. Anyone who lives their life in disregard of God has forsaken the Lord. And that describes the world. Unfortunately, it describes many of God's people also. They live their lives without any consideration. They just plan their own lives, where they'll work, where they'll live, what they'll do, how long they'll do it. It's all about their plans. No consideration of the will of God. Live their lives with disregard toward God. When you and I drive to the house of God on Sundays, more in the summer than in the winter, and you see people out doing all kinds of things, what have they done? They've forsaken the Lord. They're living their lives to the disregard of God. That's what sinful man does. Sin is a provoking of God. Again, Isaiah 1 verse 4, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel. Now, to provoke is to irritate. Not too smart to irritate omnipotence. That's not a very smart thing to do. To provoke means to arouse God to anger. Now, we know God is long-suffering. God is not easily aroused to anger, for which we ought to be thankful. So we see a progression here. We see this people is, they're like the worse than the ox and the ass, and they're weighted down with sin. They're seed of evildoers. Children are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. And in all this, God is being provoked. Every sin is just a further provoking of God. So the further you get along in the cycle of sin, you have this provoking of God. And that's what you see in Romans chapter 1. So not only does sin progress, the wrath of God progresses. And as you read Romans 1, you see that part of the wrath of God is more sin, which brings more destruction. So as we look out today and we see more and more and more sin, that is part of the wrath of God. And that more and more sin brings more of the wrath of God. And it's a cycle that man cannot in and of himself get out of. The only way to get out of it is if God intervenes. And that's the cycle of our nation. That's the cycle of people. They provoke. They irritate God. Again, God is long-suffering. But there is a point. And it's different with individuals. There is a point when that long-suffering is no more. God is provoked. Sin is going backwards. Isaiah 1 verse 4 again, they are gone away backward. If you go away from God, which they did when they forsook God, you will always go backwards. They go away backward. Again, the pitch of Satan is that you will go forward. You ever talk to someone who's been away, they profess to be saved, they have been away from God. They are away from God. And they try their best to convince you how great their life is. Well, let me say something. If your life is great, you're lost. But I don't know if they're trying to convince you and I or if they're trying to convince themselves, probably both. But sin is going backward. It's a departure from God. It puts one at a distance from God. To go backward speaks of going in the wrong direction. Sin is always going in the wrong direction. It is to be in a state of decline. So all sin is to move away from God. And that's always the wrong direction. And it will always result in decline of some kind. You may not be able to see the decline immediately, but sin, every single sin, results in decline. Whether we can notice it or not, every single sin is a declining. So sin is to go away from spiritual substance. It's to go away from spiritual resources and treasures. It is to go away from that which is beautiful and meaningful. It is to go away from that which will be of great help to us and great encouragement to us. It is to go away from that which strengthens us and comforts us and sustains us and blesses us. Now, only someone who's ignorant would do that on purpose. To purposely go away from these things. To go away from that which will give courage and peace and victory. And then go in the direction of bankruptcy. I'm going to leave all the blessings of God and I'm going to go in the direction of bankruptcy. I'm going to leave the liberty I have in God and I'm going to go in the way that's going to lead to imprisonment and misery and waste. Not too smart. Sin, again, it puts us lower than the ox and the ass. Sin is absolute insanity. Isaiah 1 verse 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The question is asked, why? Why would you do that? Why would you? We've all raised children and we've said, why did you do that? What were you thinking? And that's basically what God is asking here. Why did you do that? What were you thinking? The word why is stressing the fact that to continue in sin is beyond reason. It's irrational. How many times the one who professes to be saved will say, well, I've just realized some things. Really. They're being irrational. Yet they think that they've come to a realization. I've realized that I don't have to be in church on Sunday to be spiritual or whatever the things they come up with. So in spite of the fact that sin brings suffering, trouble, pain, agony, and sorrow, the sinner just keeps on sinning and blaming all their sorrow and blaming all their misery on everything but the real cause. Sin is insanity. It's absolutely insanity. So we see this as we get into Romans 1. All of this is very clearly illustrated. In Romans 1, we see the nature of sin. We have to understand the nature of sin. The individual who sins and says, I'm only going to do it this one time, does not understand the nature of sin. That statement is a statement of ignorance. That they do not understand the very nature of sin. So God help us to have some understanding. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the warnings that you give us. in your word, and we pray, Lord, that you would just draw us closer to thee each and every day. Be with us today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.